Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys, gals, pals, and ghouls.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Ara. Together, we're the Grimm sisters.
Today, we have a fun episode for you guys, and we're recording this on December 6th, so it's officially the feast day of St. Nicholas. St. Nick came today to give oranges, chocolates, and small toys and treats to children in Western Christian countries like Germany. That's cool.
Sounds pretty nice.
Yeah.
However, St. Nicholas must share the early morning part of this day with his more horrifying counterpart, Krampus. Yesterday, or last night, more accurately, was officially Krampusnacht, which is the night of Krampus.
Krampusnacht, celebrated on December 5th, is a centuries-old Alpine tradition in Germany, Austria, Bavaria, and other mountainous areas like Eastern Europe, intertwined with more familiar figure of St. Nicholas.
While St. Nicholas rewards well-behaved children with gifts, Krampus, his menacing counterpart, punishes misbehaving children. This demonic-esque creature, often resembling an anthropomorphized goat walking on its hind legs, embodies the darker side of the holiday season.
The Krampus figure has a rich and complex history. The roots of Krampus can be traced back to pre-Christian times, possibly stemming from Germanic paganism. According to historians, horned devils first began to appear in medieval plays around the 11th century. One authority on the subject believes that Krampus goes as far back as the Wiccan deity of the horned god of the witches. Another anthropologist, John J. Honigman, wrote, Krampus derives from a pagan supernatural who was assimilated to the Christian devil.
And some scholars believe Krampus embodies elements of ancient rituals celebrating the winter solstice. He was likely an amalgamation of various pre-Christian Alpine folklore figures associated with the wild, untamed aspects of nature. He distinctly resembles such other mythical figures as Pan and satyrs, all of which were vilified by the Christian church through the depiction of the devil as a he-goat.
I just want to know, like, what did goats ever do to Christians?
They're cloven-hooved and therefore unclean.
True. True. Thus, we see yet again that the very image of paganism is adopted by the church and directly vilified through depicting it as the devil.
As Christianity spread across Europe, the figure of Krampus became intertwined with the Christian celebration of St. Nicholas. While St. Nicholas rewarded good children with gifts, as we've said, Krampus emerged as his dark companion, punishing misbehaving children. This duality reflected the long-fought Christian dualist struggle between good and evil, light and darkness, etc., etc.
The appearance of Krampus has evolved over the centuries, but he is traditionally depicted as a, quote, demonic, quote, creature with spiraling horns, dark fur, a long pointed tongue, and chains.
His frightening appearance was meant to strike fear into disobedient children, which I think that would do the job. In some regions, Krampus also carried bundles of birch branches or a sack to either swat children or carry them away.
Krampus appears in the folklore of Austria, Bavaria, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Romania, Northern Italy, the autonomous province of Trento and South Tyrol, Slovakia, and Slovenia.
And similar figures are recorded in neighboring areas, Strobart in Bavaria, Klebhoffmann in Austria and Bavaria, while Bartel or Bartel, Niglbartel, and Vubartel are used in the southern part of the country. Other names include Bartel or Bartholomus or Bartholomew, I think, which occurs in Styria in Austria. Schmutzli, that's so fun. Schmutzli in German-speaking Switzerland. Pöpel or Hulenpöpel in Würzburg, Zember and Keb, Belsmartel and Pelsmartel in Swabia and Franconia, and in most parts of Slovenia, whose culture was greatly affected by Austrian culture, Krampus is called Porkeli and is one of the companions of Miklavsch, the Slovenian form of St. Nicholas. That was so intense.
It was really intense.
My brain was like German and English. Okay.
That's one of those paragraphs that like it had to be Ara's paragraph. Like when we write our script, we always try to give Ara the paragraphs that have crazy pronunciations because you're so much better at that stuff than me when it comes to European words.
You just have to like fully put your chest into it.
I feel like I'm relatively okay with the German though, but I feel like German, I feel like it's a lot easier to pronounce than some stuff because it's English is Germanic language.
Yeah.
So in many parts of Bosnia and Herzegovina and Croatia, Krampus is described as a devil wearing a cloth sack around his waist and chains around his neck, ankles, and wrists. As part of the tradition, when a child receives a gift from St. Nicholas, he is given a golden branch to represent his good deeds throughout the year. However, if the child has misbehaved, Krampus will take the gifts for himself and leave only a silver branch to represent the child's bad acts.
Which, to be fair, if I got a beautiful silver branch, yeah, I'd be really happy. Krampusnacht is observed widely throughout towns and villages in, as we said, Austria, Germany, and other Alpine regions, which come alive with parades of elaborately costumed Krampuses roaming the streets.
In Styria, Austria, and the Rute is presented by Krampus to families. The twigs are painted gold and displayed year-round in the house. This is a reminder to any child who has temporarily forgotten Krampus. In smaller, more isolated villages, the figure has other beastly companions, such as the antlered, quote, wild man figures, and St. Nicholas is nowhere to be seen. These Styrian companions of Krampus are called...
Now put your money where your
mouth
is.
Yeah, I know, right? As soon as I said, I'm usually okay with the German.
Schabmanner
or Rohan.
During this event, people dress in elaborate Krampus costumes. The Krampus costume is traditionally made up of a hand-carved wooden mask that's very, I mean, not very intricate, but more intricate than we do in everyday decorating, and a suit made from sheep or goat skin, authentic sheep or goat skin. And cowbells are worn around the wearer's hips. But, of course, newer costume iterations have faux fur and bot masks.
Parading through the streets to scare onlookers, these celebrations often include music, dance, and communal revelry. These fearsome characters wield chains and bells, frightening onlookers and chasing mischievous bystanders. The festival blends folk music, traditional dances, and an eerie ambiance as communities embrace this blend of fear and revelry.
And unfortunately, Krampus's popularity declined in the 20th century, which was particularly due to efforts to suppress pagan traditions.
However, in recent decades, there has been a resurgence of interest in Krampus. Its influence has spread beyond Europe, captivating the imaginations of people worldwide. It has experienced a revival through modern reinterpretations, including films, literature, Krampus-themed events, such as Krampus runs and festivals globally.
Which, a Krampus run sounds really fun. We should go to one.
I agree. Like, I want to go to a Krampus party or festival or...
We should do one.
Yeah.
I'm all for this.
Yeah, I don't know where we find one.
We have to make one.
Okay. I feel like our friends would participate.
They totally would, especially considering one of our friends is reading, what is it?
Kidnapped by Krampus.
Yes, it's a smut novel if you weren't sure. Worse than Krampus is the people who read these. I say that having read them. So a toned-down version of Krampus is part of many popular Christmas markets, especially in Austrian areas like Salzburg. In these more tourist-friendly interpretations, Krampus is more humorous than fearsome.
I want to go to Salzburg so bad.
We can go.
We can.
We'll get sponsored.
Yeah.
By the Krampus Association. We'll be kidnapped by Krampus.
Oh my god. We'll get greeted at the airport by people in like big wooden masks and goat horns and yeah, it'll be great. The legend of Krampus has found a place in modern culture, serving as a counterbalance to the saccharine sweetness of typical holiday celebrations. It truly gives meaning to the song adage, quote, scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
However, Krampusnacht isn't just about scaring children into good behavior. It reflects deeper cultural aspects of tensions and societal reflections. Some scholars interpret Krampus as a reaffirmation of what is deemed to be, quote, moral behavior, end quote, for not only children, but whole communities, while others see it as a representation, as we said, of pre-Christian folklore struggle against evil spirits or the struggle between good and evil in Christianity.
Others view it as a way for communities to grapple with societal norms and behavior. As said, the tensions between good and evil, or light and dark, remains a central theme in this enigmatic celebration. Given the approaching time of winter solstice, the epitome of light versus dark in our calendarical year and in cultures around the world, this makes complete sense.
And regardless of whether you believe or not, here are a few really haunting tales of encounters with Krampus.
Yeah. All right, so this person says, quote, I had an encounter with Krampus the other day, making me see the error of my ways. That rhymes. I don't think that was intentional.
Also, slight trigger warning for child abuse.
Oh my God. All my life, I was given many lessons by my parents. If I didn't follow any of the rules or understand their lessons, I would be given a belt whack. Their first lesson was teaching me dominance. This was mostly by my dad. As he was the more dominant parent. He'd tell me that women weren't to be believed, as whatever they say is total lies. Well, this is really upsetting. Oh my gosh. Yeah, guys, didn't you know we are liars?
Us women.
Women are witches. We are. It's true. Now, some few weeks ago, I'd gotten a girlfriend, but shortly after, she left. I was doing what I was supposed to do according to the rules, but those didn't make her stay. She left me, saying I was, quote, an asshole.
Am I the asshole? This was found on Am I the Asshole on Reddit.
To be fair, based on the way that this kid's dad raised him, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yes, he was. I was homeschooled, too, so very sheltered. Now that I know the word for it, very sheltered, now that I know the word for it. It was supposed to assert dominance, and I was told that only the males that did what we were doing were the real humans, and that women or men didn't conform or were not people. I always believed these things, but I had a big waking moment the other night. It was right before the solstice that we started getting strange notes. They were written in some sort of runic script. As far as I can tell, they looked like threats written on paper. They appear to be death threats. Quote, Donnie, ignore them. Just some non-humans prank. Dad had always called people non-human. In an effort to keep up the ruse, I was under for years. But this is a long story, guys. But these notes kept coming, multiplying. It was as if we were being given more notes than we were burning them. And then last Christmas Eve, something very crazy happened. My heart was pounding as if it were loudly knocking on a wooden door. I knew if I didn't get to sleep at 6 o'clock p.m., I'd get the belt. But this routine thing went off track. I had a hard time sleeping that night, meaning I had the fear of the belt come in again. But this time, no one came in. I heard screams of terror from my parents' room. From then, my heart banged like the Big Ben Tower, but as rapid as a race car. Help! Help! And I remembered I had a present under the tree. It had been there, but I was told opening it before Christmas would make the object inside vanish. But as I checked to make sure it was still there, apparently it looked as if the whole present vanished. I looked around for it, scared out of my skin, thinking it was stolen. I looked everywhere and couldn't find it. Then I heard a bellowing voice. Come out, Donnie. I know you're in here. Get over here. And this voice alone gave me the creeps. Coal in the stocking wasn't enough to tell you that you were incredibly evil. Donnie, get over here. Evil? Me? I was shaking in my boots when the voice began to grow louder. Just what have you been doing all this time? You have some real lesson to learn, Donnie. This time, I was crouching as though I was trying to hide. Sweat had poured from my head like a fountain. I was reaching a breaking point. And then what appeared before me was the face of a strange, goat-like creature. His horns were long, reaching at least 15 feet. You're getting in the basket, boy. This is a wild story. Where did you even find this?
It's just Reddit.
At first, I was expecting it to be like a ghost story, like spooky, and instead, it's you're getting in the basket, boy. Then he grabbed me by the shirt I wore, and I was dropped into his basket. The inside of it reminded me of the TARDIS. It was larger inside than it was outside. The fact that I was indeed picked up by Krampus made many scary thoughts come to mind. I wondered what he was going to do to me. Was he going to kill me? Was he going to beat me worse than my dad did? And then I saw my parents. They were apparently knocked out. I was shaking, but I kept trying to find the courage to talk to Krampus. I was stuttering, but I said this to him. I won't do the stutter. Okay. What did I do to make you so mad? You're not fooling me. You know what you did. I had rules to follow. Rules, my left hoof. What is happening right now?
No, this is the greatest thing we've ever read. This is amazing.
It keeps going. Oh my gosh. It's like pages, Ara. What the heck?
No, it ends on this page.
Oh my gosh. Rules, my left hoof. You tell me what you did. I know what you did, but you have to understand. Understand what, sir? Show me that you remember the rules. Tell me. Then you understand that my parents were abusive, that I had to do what they said, or I'd be belted?
I love the acting going on.
I know. This is leading me to my big break. Color me unsurprised, Donnie. Your parents made you think that your sins were normal things. Just what kind of rock have you been living under? I know there's a word for it, but I don't think I learned it. What? Sheltered kid. You were sheltered the whole time. Tell me what you did all these years. And I admitted to everything. The time I misgendered and made fun of one of the girls in my class who was trans. The time I threatened to shoot the boy in my neighborhood. Oh my God.
Jesus.
Calm down. The stuff I did to my ex-girlfriend. Everything. I began to break down crying. I admitted that I was told to do these things because it was, quote, normal. And that I had no idea what was wrong with me. I know much of this was my fault. But you have to believe me. It was either do it all or get whipped. I swear. I was so afraid of the consequences. You're 16, kid. It's not too late to mend. As for your parents, they're too far gone to change. So I did you and the whole town a favor. Oh my God. Krampus murdered his parents. Like, I'm not kidding. I checked on my parents for heartbeats. When I found that there was no heartbeat, I had a realization. Don't feel bad for them. They were manipulative. They were like this for long enough that they could not turn back. As for you, you still have a young mind. You're capable of change. And it's not every day you find a genuinely remorseful soul. I was still shaking in my boots, but I was basically shocked into reality. I'll do what I can. I need to make up for all of it. So you'll say you'll atone? The promise is normally empty. I need some resources for ways I can do it, but I will.
Krampus is your local counselor giving you resources.
Oh my gosh, this is so weird.
It's so good though. I'm glad I put it. I didn't read it first.
You didn't
know I didn't read it first.
I need some resources for ways I can do it, but I will. And then, even as I peered out of the basket, he had evidently turned to me. You've got a new resolve. This is rare. A promise to atone that is genuine. That, too, is rare. Enjoy the rest of the ride. What? I woke up Christmas morning to find myself right next to the tree. I at first wondered if all of it was a nightmare, but when I checked the whole house, I knew he was right. They really were gone. I looked on the table, and there was a present on it. Although wrapped in a deep purple, it was definitely something for me. I opened it to find a Nintendo Switch, a book with lessons on kindness, and some sort of handbook on respect and advocacy. Along with the items was a note that said, some presents to celebrate the start of your new journey. K. This is the best thing ever. Krampus gave him a Nintendo Switch, you guys.
And advocacy books. Krampus is actually your local guidance counselor. Don't get it twisted. So I have written in the script, here's one more story to haunt you. But I think the first story was haunting in a Wattpad novel kind of way. Okay. So here's one more story to haunt you. Quote. It was the Christmas of 2014, and it was the night of Christmas Eve. During this time, my dad, my mama's boyfriend, who wouldn't celebrate, and I were all gathered together, but wouldn't celebrate it like your average normal family. We would usually just get stoned or drunk off of my dad's cannabis, or my mama boyfriend's John's Happy Jack, as he liked to call it. Now, I know what you'll say. You're all probably thinking it was weed or that I was just drunk. I assure you it's not the case. You don't hallucinate, trust me. As for the homemade alcohol, it was just some average homemade wine. Also, I'd like you to keep in mind I was only 14. Don't judge. No one's perfect. My mom, mama, and little brother had already turned in for the night, leaving the three of us guys sitting by the fireplace in the living room. Where I lived back then, you could just visualize a normal suburban neighborhood and guess that the setting of the story took place here. But back to the matter at hand, we were all sitting by the fireplace when all of a sudden we heard a loud bang against our ceiling right above where we were sitting. We all looked up and then at each other as if we were all asking one another if we heard the same thing.
Being the smartass John is, he said, "Hey guys, I think Jeepers Creepers is coming for us." We all laughed and then returned to doing what we were doing just before as if nothing had happened. After a while of sitting in that exact spot in front of the blazing hot fire, my face couldn't bear it anymore, so I decided to sit on the couch that was right beside the huge living room window. For some reason, I had a sudden urge to look outside. I regret it still and probably always will. I saw thick blankets of snow, a random snowman in our front yard, and in front of that was a very tall, shaped figure. At first, I wasn't giving any attention to the back figure. I was trying to figure out how the hell we went from having not even an inch of snow to at least 6 inches. I looked around, and the neighbor's yard was the same as before. It struck me as odd, but I decided to start paying attention to the black figure that was now closer to the house than when it was before. But now I could see his face, illuminated from the living room light. I stared at it for at least 5 seconds before I started to analyze it. He had a dark, wrinkly, dead-looking face and a bright white beard that seemed dirty and unkempt. For better words, he looked like he was evil Santa Claus. I yelled for Dad and John to come to the window and look outside. As soon as they looked out the window, I could tell that they noticed everything that I'd noticed just by seeing the expressions on their faces. Dad took off yelling about getting a gun, and John did the same. This definitely took place in the South. When they returned, Dad held in his hand a .22 revolver, and John had a 12-gauge shotgun. They started stumbling, trying to load their weapons, as I pulled out my pocket knife I'd bought just days before. We should all just stab Caesar. I just didn't want to be the odd one out without a weapon. As I whipped out the blade and looked back up, it was gone. Dad was at a loss and asked me why I wasn't keeping my eye on the damn thing, but I just ignored him looking back out the window. Everything that was there before had gone except for the snowman that had already started to melt. But I noticed a stick jabbed out the side of the snowman's head, and attached to it was a piece of paper. Poor Olaf. When I noticed this, I rushed out to the front while Dad and John were rambling on about it not being safe. I pulled out the stick and began to read as Dad and John ran up behind me and pulled me inside. Dad looked at my face and then at the note. He said, "What the F is that?" I started to read it once more out loud this time. It read, quote, "Cherish those little moments while you still have them. They will not be there forever. You all got lucky this year, but I will be back if you do not get the concept of what Christmas in life is all about," end quote. Dad threw the note in the fireplace and ran to get Mom and my little brother up, while John had been trying to get Mima up while I sat on the floor in front of the fireplace. I sat there for a good minute in a trance-like state before Dad shook me out of it. We all started to explain what had happened, but they strangely didn't hear the loud bang on the ceiling. Like, I figured they didn't believe us, meaning his Mima and Mom and little brother that had been sleeping. John and I had picked on Dad for throwing it in the fire for days after that, meaning the note. It's 2017 and no sign of him yet. Dad and Mom are no longer with us, and I have since moved out from that house. Christmas is coming up, and I'm scared, just like every Christmas, from that point on. I just hope he decides not to come back for me. End quote. That was a wild ride. That was. Most of which because there was not a single ounce of punctuation in that entire giant paragraph, and I had to translate that as best
you
I could.
Did. You did a very good job. Thank you. You did a great job. I think the thing that was very funny about this were the times things that are not words. Like at one point he uses the word cul-de-sac.
I think he means cul-de-sac. I just skipped that sentence. Because it actually says, "One thing I can say though is it wasn't exactly a cul-de-sac." And I was like, okay, so it wasn't a cul-de-sac? Question mark.
What?
And then point he used blankets of snow with
instead
a P.
Of
I don't know. It was just crazy.
A 12 half shotgun. It's just no proofreading. Everybody's like, Krampus is evil, but okay, you know what? Krampus is just trying to make people be nice to each other.
Exactly.
And not abuse their children and like appreciate the warm happiness of Christmas. Like that's really all he's doing.
Exactly.
And I think that's better than Santa, yeah. Honestly. I mean, Santa's cool, but like
I just think it's funny looking back at both of these stories that in the first one, Krampus was like, "Your parents are too far gone, kid." And I was like, what about like A Christmas Carol where Scrooge is like, you know, an 80-year-old man and they're like, "We'll work for it." But Krampus is like, "Nah, I got better things to do with my life."
So whether you celebrate Krampus not, solstice, Christmas, or any other winter holiday, we wish you the best and hope you'll keep tuning in to hear the haunted holiday treats we have coming up for you.
And before we go, I just wanted to mention our podcast Spotify Wrapped for 2023. It was really cool to see it, and I'm really glad it's being offered by Spotify now. Caroline and I had a time looking at it. Okay, so our top episode for this year was the Taco Bell Strangler, aka Bad Henry Lewis Wallace, which was the story about the serial killer from Charlotte, which was really cool. And it really brought a lot of you guys in. 21% of all of our new listeners started with the Taco Bell Strangler. So we'll definitely try to prioritize more true crime because we know Caroline has it.
I do have it. I also have a lot of just like weird nature stories about people getting eaten by lions and stuff. So,
and we were streamed in 8 countries, but the US was our top country with 81% of our total streams. So thank you to all of our listeners, especially to our US listeners. We really appreciate you. 70% of you shared our podcast through direct link. Thanks. And 30% did it through text. Also, thanks. And our most shared episode was the Blood Countess of Cacciste, which was Elizabeth Bathory. And our podcast grew by 23% followers this year. So
that happened despite us going on a break for multiple months, inexplicably. And then somehow our move to another country. And that's when we were like, let's record again.
Yeah.
Even though we were not near each other. But we're back now. And so with that, we shall sign off.
So this episode of Wicked, Weird, and Grim was written and produced by me, Ara.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share. You can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms. And we'd be especially happy if you gave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and a nice review on Apple Podcasts.
We have all the social medias. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon at Wicked, Weird, and Grim. And on Twitter, or X, at Wicked Weird Grim. Join our exclusive Facebook group for behind the scenes looks and updates on our podcast.
Check out our website, courtesy of Wix, at wickedweirdandgrim.wixsite.com. Also check out our Redbubble for our Wicked Weird and Grim collection for fair price merch. Search our username, Wicked Weird and Grim. As always, oh, that's you. We scrape down to every last detail.
As always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters. Bye, guys.
Bye. Beautiful.
Wave.
Wave.
Bye.